Okay, Chevra, even though it is Bein Kesa La'asar, we still learn Torah. That's our belief, that during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we believe that not only is it a time to daven, which it is, but it's also a time to learn Torah. Hashiveinu Lafanecha. So we should fulfill Aseres Yemei Tshuva by studying Torah also. And I got a smile out of Sophia, which is like such a rare occurrence. So, okay, obviously that was a good part. So now what I want to do with you today, relatively briefly, is to conclude the topic that we have been doing the last year, which relates to the dinim of Oblech. Right now, when I'm talking about Oblech, I am talking about the old-fashioned Oblech, which people have in old-fashioned Washington Heights apartments, where you have like a piece of metal that goes on top of the range top. Most often, the metal is on top of one of the burners. The metal goes on top of a few burners, but most often, one of the burners is on and the other burners are not on. And we will get to a conversation about moving pots on the various areas of the burners. But until we get there, we should just review what we spoke about, which is that the Chazon Ish would say that that commonly used blech does not work. Anyone remember why not? I think you are muted, Michal. I think you're still muted. Okay, let me see if I have to unmute you.
Is that, can you hear
There
me?
we go. Yes.
Well, didn't we say like for the Chazonish, you need like airspace underneath, otherwise it wouldn't be considered like garf or katzim or whatever?
Correct. The Chazon shows you need airspace. Why? Based on a Rashi. Because Rashi on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph in the sugya of Smicha, so the Gemara speaks about maybe Tochan al Gaba is Aser but Smicha is Mutter, or maybe Loshna. So Rashi has a comment that al Gaba means Ovi Svasa o Kisoish al Chalola. Right? Rashi says that al Gaba means the thickness of the edge or the cover of the chalal, meaning that if I have a piece of metal that covers the range, Zukt Rashi, that is still called Algaba. So the Chazon Ish writes, okay, that means that our blech is considered Algaba and it doesn't help at all. And the only thing that will help is when there is airspace. The source of the idea of airspace helping is Se'if Gimel, Siman Reish Nun Gimel, Se'if Gimel. If you can just, I would say turn there, but people don't really have books usually. So I'd say switch there on your screens. So in Reish Nun Gimel, Se'if Gimel, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and this is based on the Mordechai. Hamashkin Baboke Vira Shaktiha Tavshilo, Vyare Penyaktiach Yoser. I wake up in the morning, I see that my pot is burning, and I'm worried it will burn more. Yochol lahasir ulahaniach kedera al pi hakira. What I'm allowed to do is remove the pot and put an empty pot on top of the kira. Va'oz yasim Etc. Meaning the Mechaber says that what I do if I see my pot is burning is I take the pot off of the flame, I pick it up, I keep the conditions of hachazara, and I put an inverted upside down pot on top of the range, and that helps. Presumably, the case is that I was doing shehiyah beheter. I had a pot on the fire beheter, meaning according to the second opinion of Shulchan Aruch, which Ashkenaz and Paskin like, that it was already Maichu ben Drusai. Or according to the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that Sfaradim or Sfaradi Rishonim certainly accept the pat is already mefushal kol tzarko and mitzdamik v'relo. Right? So in those cases, shehiya is mutter. But my pot is burning, meaning it's getting ruined. So therefore, right, how do I make sure the pot doesn't ruin? I have to do some sort of hachazara. Right? I can't put it right back there because then it's going to still get ruined. So I'm allowed to take an empty pot and put the kedera on the empty pot, and that's called hachazara. Now, one of the conditions for hachazara is it has to be garf v'katam. So you see that an empty pot, which the Chazon Ish understands is an empty inverted pot, right, in upside down, so that is called garf v'katam. Zok the Chazon Ish, you see that airspace makes a garf v'katam, gevaldik gishmak. Right? Does everyone know what gevaldik and gishmak means, or I have to translate? Okay, we're good. Okay, excellent. Now what happens, like Rabbi Willig points out in his Sefer on, it's in Simon Vav, that's Rabbi Willig's entire essay about Blech.
Can I just ask a clarification question?
Yes,
please. On what you just said, I was confused by it. I mean, it sounded like what you were just saying, I thought the Chazon Ish was based on the Rashi.
It's the Chazon Ish's Isser, I'd say, is based on the Rashi. But what's the heter? In other words, one could argue that even if there's airspace, it still is going to be osir because lamaisa, the pot is on top of the fire. Right? One could argue that's still called algaba. The Chazon Ish is saying that no, I see from the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Nun Gimel Siv Gimel that the inverted pot is not algaba. Right? Shkayach. Now, Rabbi Willig in his Sefer, again, I only looked at it in the Hebrew. I find the Hebrew easier than the English. Rabbi Willig points out that the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch says that the pot is not inverted. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch says, I'm just looking for where he... he quotes from the I'm not seeing. Oh, Shulchan Aruch Rav in the Kuntres Acharon Sifkat in Yud says that a kedera is eina kefuya. It's in Rabbi Willig's Sefer page 42. Rabbi Willig Hebrew Sefer page Mem Beis. Now, according to that, so then obviously we have no kula of airspace, but I do have a kula that when something is covered with a pot, it's not called agaba. And that could be the source of our practice. Let's go back. We said, let's say Rashi is right. They put a pot on top of the kira, but that's called agaba. So how come our blech helps? So the answer we gave is our blech is not a normal way of cooking. As opposed to the kira, that you can't just put the pot on top of it because the pot's going to sink in and get ruined, right? And therefore, the normal way of cooking on the kira is on top of some cover on the kira. But our blech is not the normal way to cook. And therefore, it's mutter. That's what the Alter Rebbe would be saying in Shulchan Aruch, right? It's not normal to cook a pot inside another pot, inside a plain, empty pot, right? People don't cook like that. You don't put a pot on the fire and then put the pot in the pot. So the Alter Rebbe's Mahalach, I think, can be used as a defense for our practice, which, again, we wanted to suggest that it's based on, that maybe our practice is based on the Ramach, that the Ramach says it's a din of Heker. That could still be true, but I do see that the Alter Rebbe seems to be saying that, so all is grand and glorious. Or as we'd say, a third word that starts with the G, Geschmack, or Gewaldig, right? Grand, glorious, Geschmack, Gewaldig, right? Amazing. This is like alliteration. Now, that, yeah, Micha?
Yeah, I'm just getting a little confused again. Sorry. I thought we said that the Rashi by Al Gaba was when there's like a thing right on top of it.
Right.
So how does this solve that? Then the Shulchan Aruch Rav would just be saying, actually, that case that Rashi's bringing is different than this one because maybe I'm missing. I just don't understand.
One thing, how do I draw pictures on Zoom? Oh, here. I'm going to draw a picture. Okay. Can you see my whiteboard?
Yes.
Okay, so here. Let's go as I. One second. I used to know how to do this. It used to be I used to do this like all the time. Does anyone remember where the drawer picture is? Oh, here. Okay, this is a kira, right? You have one pot that I put over here, and I'm going to put another pot on top over here, right? Now, that pot on top is going to fall in unless I have a piece of metal or so on top of the kira. So the normal way of having a kira is I have a piece of metal on top, or else it's not going to work. Nachon? However, if I have our stove, okay? So our stove, I have, let's say, a few burners, right? What our stove looks like. And I put the blech on top of the burners, that's not the normal way to cook. Usually I cook my pot right over here. Now I'm cooking my pot over here. So that's not the normal way to cook. The Alter Rebbe's case is azoy. I wake up in the morning and I see that my pot, which is on top of the kira, my pot is burning. So what do I do? So what I do is I take another pot, and I put my other pot on top of the kira. Or what I could say is, even, I put my other pot, right, here. Why is this not working? But what I have is, right, that regular cover of the kira, and I put a pot on top of the kira, then I put pot two inside pot one. That's not a normal way to cook. It's not normal to put one pot into another pot. So although Rashi says it's usser in this case, right, in the case on my left, Rashi says it's usser because that's a normal way to cook. In this case, it's not going to be usser because it's not normal to cook on a pot that's inside another pot. That sounds reasonable? Okay, excellent. So that is the so that is what we have from the Alter Rebbe. Now, we also pointed out that the reason why our blech works is probably because our blech is a hecker. It's not the normal way of cooking, and that's in line with that Ramach that we read in Perek Gimel Halacha Daled in the Frankel editions, where it actually says beferish that it works midin hecker. Awesome. Now, I just want to present a few nafgaminas between the Rambam's understanding of how grufa uktuma works and the other understanding. Remember, the Rambam says that grufa uktuma works because of, right, hesach hadas. That has to be an easier way of writing. No? Oh, yeah, there is. Right here.
You should be able to type it in to create like a text box. That might be easiest.
Oh, yeah. It's not working. Whatever. The Rambam says it works out. The Ramach says it works based on Hecker. According to the Rambam, that it is based on here. Look at the Rambam. Open Parak Gimel Halacha Dalet in the Rambam again. Okay. If you remember, the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amr Aleph has a few cases. Right, one case is called Katma V'Huvara. Right, one case is that you cover the coals and then it burns up again. The other case that we had is Gecholam She'im Amu, is that when the coals begin to wane. In both cases, the Shulchan, the Gemara, I have to say, in both cases, the Gemara says that that's called Katma, right? So both Im Amu and Katma Behuvara, they both work. Now read the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? So we said earlier, the Rambam said Hesach Hadas that we saw, right? That's the rationale that the Rambam gives for how come Ketuma works. It's Hesach Hadas. But what is striking in the Rambam is striking, quite striking. The Rambam of these two cases only quotes Gecholam She'im Amu, no? The Rambam never quotes the case of Katma V'Huvara, which is a full, like, 20 lines in Gemara. This first one, Im Amu, is one word in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes that word, but the Rambam does not quote Katma V'Huvara. And the Pnei Yehoshua jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, how come the Rambam does not quote Katma V'Huvara? So what would you say, based on what we learned? Why does the Rambam not quote Katma V'Huvara? Lumdus. The reason why Katma works is Hesach Hadas. So why would Hesach Hadas work by case one, by Im Amu, and not by case two, by Katma V'Huvara? Mr. Pansky, how are you?
Doing great. Well, if the fire, I guess, rekindles, then you care about it again, so it's not really Hesach Hadas anymore.
And how come there is Hesach Hadas by Im Amu?
Because it's fading away and it's not going to like really get heated. Well, so you're just like, yeah, whatever.
In other words, when it begins to fade away, there's Hesach Hadas because were I to care about the food really being warm, I would take out my bellows and I go chook, 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 and then make that fire burn up again. So the fact, right, and that's what the Rashba, by the way, has on our daf. The Rashba writes that's considered a Hesach Hadas because I don't care enough to make the fire burn again. It's Im Amu. I see that the ashes are going, that the coals are going down, and I don't care. So therefore, this Hesach Hadas. Beautiful. Now, according to the Ramach, which one of these should work? which one is a heker? So l'cha'ora, yes, Ms. Stepanski, you are dominating today.
Oh, man. Well, if it's like had ketuma, is that the one where you put ashes on it?
I put ashes on katzma v'huvara. I put ashes on it.
Wait, so...
And then the ashes somehow don't help, and you have vayetze ish, right?
I guess
and fire comes back. So l'cha'ora, this case is, right?
That's a heker.
I did something. Heker l'cha'ora means that I did something. Or I could say like this. Katma v'huv'ara might mean that some of the ashes remain, but some of the coals got rekindled. Especially if Rashi is correct, that huvara is the same as nislabsa, right? Remember, Tysus in one opinion says the huvara and the salabsa are different. There's a difference between whether the fire grows all the way or whether the fire goes again in a very shvach way. If I assume that they're both shvach, like Rashi says on Amud Aleph, five lines in the bottom, nislabsa, right? Rashi says is the same as huvara. But that means that l'cha'ora, there is something that remains. So I could argue that according to the Ramach, that's great. But according to the Ramach, let's say it's im'amu. So im'amu l'chora means that the coals begin to wane on their own. But according to the Ramach, that won't help as katma, because I need a heker, meaning I need to have done something to show that I don't want it this hot. It's not going to be a heker by imamu. So what's fascinating is that the Ramach is the opposite of the Rambam, right? The Rambam is going to say that imamu, there's hesach hadas, but katma v'huvara doesn't work. The Ramach will say that imamu doesn't work and katma v'huvara does work. Doesn't it make it so much easier when they have like one of these boards? Like, yeah.
I have a question, Buffalo. Is the point of a heker that I, Dafka, did something to be a reminder for myself, or that it's different than the normal way? Because if it looks different than the normal way, I might think that it's like a small
thing. Let's go with you. Do coals normally begin to wane over time? Did you have a barbecue? Do the coals begin to go down? The answer is yes.
Yes. Right?
They go to go, shgayach, right? So the coals begin to wane. So it is normal. I think the only reason it's a heker is because I did something. So it's interesting that the Ramach and the Rambam are opposites. And by the way, the Rambam only quotes the case of imamu. He does not call katma v'huvara, and I think we explained why. According to the Ramach, one could make a strong case that only katma v'huvara would work and imamu would not work. It is striking, very striking, I'll say, that open up the Shulchan Aruch, right? Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph, and find imamu and katma v'huvara. Find these dinim in the Shulchan Aruch. Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph. And look where it speaks about smicha, where it speaks about grufo ketuma. Ms. Schatz, it looks like you're trying to say something, but you have to unmute. No. Prefer to remain muted.
I wasn't going to say something. So.
Okay, that's fine. The Shulchan Aruch omits both the dinim of imamu and the din of katma v'huvara. They are both omitted. The Mishnah Brura in Sifkatin Yud Daled quotes both of these dinim, even though they are not found in the Mechaber. The Mishnah Brura quotes both of them. I would contend, however, that the Mechaber does not quote both of these dinim, because the Mechaber is choshesh both for the Shita of the Rambam and for the Shita of the Ramach. Even though the Mechaber uses the expression Mesiach Daito, that's just because standard method that the Mechaber wrote Shulchan Aruch is that he cut it and pasted the Lashon of the Rambam. But in terms of the rationale behind the dinim, he is choshesh both for the Rambam and for the Ramach. Consequently, he leaves out both the halacha of Im'amu and the halacha of Katma v'Huvara. That is the first point I wanted to make. Okay, now. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has the discussion. This is found in the Shmir Shabbos 1.0, Shmir Shabbos 2.0, Shmir Shabbos 2.0 with a small volume called the Hagos on 2.0. Then there's Shmir Shabbos 3.0, which is the standard Shmir Shabbos that you buy now. So Shmir Shabbos 2.0 has a discussion. Does Katma Behuv Ara work by Hachazara? Right? Does Katma Behuv Ara work by Hachazara? It's a question. Think about this in light of the reasons that we had for Hachazara. Why is it I can't return the pot on Shabbos?
Meaning it's Mechzikim Vashel or Shamei Echate.
Okay, correct. Those are the two reasons. Okay, so by Katma V'Huv Ara, right, how would this fit in to these two Perushin? Micha?
I'm not sure if this is what you're asking, but if it is what you're asking, meaning if it's Katma V'Huvara, so it's still Mesik and Vasha. We just noted a couple of minutes ago that if you ever barbecue, that's sometimes what happens when you cook, right?
The coals go down. If someone comes in and sees me putting the pot down, they're going to say, oh, that's Mesik and Vasha. Okay, great.
Alternatively, because the coals are going down, so you're going to want to stoke them for full heat.
So Shemi Echata should still apply, although, right, one could argue that by Katma V'Huv Ara, there is no longer a concern of Shemi Echata, especially if the Ramach is correct, that there still is a little bit of a hecker, that Huvara means it didn't blow up completely. There still is a few covered coals that remain, so maybe there is still a heter. I'd say it like this. If it's out, mechzikim avashal, so by katma v'hovara, it should be ossered, so it's mechzikim avashal. If hachazar is based on shema yechata, so then one could question, the pashtus is that Katma V'Huvara is going to be mutter, that there's no concern of Shema Yechata. Now that, of course, would make sense according to the Ramach, who's mekel on Katma V'Huvara, but the Rambam says Katma V'Huvara is usser, or the Rambam does not quote that din at all, we should say. So one could argue that Hachazara for the Rambam should definitely be usser in the case of Katma V'Huvara. Maybe Katma V'Huvara only helps for Shehiya. It doesn't help for Hachazara. And that's what Reb Shlomo Zalman initially thought, that it does not help for Hachazara.
But then, even within the Ramach or only within the Rambam?
So he says, according to everybody that it doesn't help. And he writes it, well, maybe it doesn't help according, he writes for sure it shouldn't help according to the Rambam because the Rambam doesn't quote the din. That's why he says it. He does not say that according to the Ramach, perhaps it does help. That is my addendum. Look at the Gemara. Tashma, the Amar of Safra. It's five lines from the top. Right? Zakti Gemara. Tashma, the Amar of Safra, Amar of Chia, Katma v'nislapsa, which we're assuming, like Rashi, means the same as Hovara. Somchin la, mekaymin aleha, not lemimena, machazirin la, shmamina. Shmamina that lismochnami katmin lo katmalo. Right? The Gemara says that by katma v'nislapsa, you can do hachazara. So Reb Shlomo Zalman changed his mind. Reb Shlomo Zalman said, initially I thought that katma v'nislapsa, katma v'huvara, won't help for hachazara, only help for shahiya. But I changed my mind because it's against the Beferish Gemara. Mrs. Schombrun, Mrs. Laub, I don't know what you prefer. Just Michal. I'm not sure.
Yeah, just Michal is fine. Just to clarify, we just said the Gemara was talking about Katma Venislabsa, which of Shlomo Zalman is trying to use to help understand Katma Vehovara.
Nachon. In other words, Reb Shlomo Zalman is assuming that Huvara and Nislabsa is the same, which is what Rashi writes on Amud Aleph. But Tosfos on Amud Beis distinguishes between Nislabsa and Huvara. Right? Exactly. Tosfos on Amud Beis says that maybe by Huvara, where Mamash became a whole conflagration, so in that case, it will only help on Mitzdamik Viralo. But maybe by Nislabsa, it's going to help even if it's Machu Ben Drusai. That's what Tosfos said. Right? There's a difference between Nislabsa and Huvara. The Shar HaTzion, the Mishnah Berurah, Reish Nun Gimel, the Shar HaTzion Yud Zayin. He says no one holds like that opinion in Tosfos. But if I hold like that opinion in Tosfos, so then maybe Reb Shlomo Zalman is correct, or Reb Shlomo Zalman's Hav Amina is defensible, because Reb Shlomo Zalman in that Hav Amina is saying that it won't help for Hachazara. The Gemara says it does help for Hachazara. Maybe it only helps Hachazara by Nislapsa because Nislapsa is like some of those ashes remain. But by Huvara, where it's that it does not remain at all, so it won't help. And certainly this is reasonable in Ramach world, like we explained. So that is a point that Rabbi Willig makes in his Hebrew language book on page 43, page Mem Gimel. Okay, now, there is a lengthy Reb Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, Chilak Dalet Simen Ayin Dalet Ost Lamed. Reb Moshe discusses what happens if the blech falls off. Now, you could ask a question, a practical question, how on earth did the blech fall off? So I don't know the answer. And that's, he's saying the blech falls off and the pot is still there. Like, what the heck? I don't understand it. Usually it seems to me if the blech fell off, the pot is also fell off. But Reb Moshe says it depends if the blech fell off completely, if some of it remains, because he compares it to katma, v'huvara, etc. And he's assuming that if some of it remains, it is going to be okay. It's going to be okay because that is the same as nislapsa, and nislapsa is better than huvara. That's basically what Reb Moshe is assuming in that tshuva that I referenced. Next point, just very briefly, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in, again, Shmira Shabbos 2.0, footnote 217. I don't know where it is in 3.0. I looked for it like 5 minutes before I shared. I couldn't find it. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, now if I put a blech down and then I raise the fire after, it does not help. Right? So why would that not help? Okay, try to plug this in to Rambam and Ramach.
Well, if you raise the fire, that creates, sorry, you go.
What? That's my picture.
If you raise the fire, you clearly want it there. Does not sound like Hesach Hadas to me.
There's no Hesach Hadas. If I raise the fire, there's no Hesach Hadas.
Also, I guess.
So therefore, according to the Rambam, it doesn't help. But according to the Ramach, one could argue it still helps because my hecker remains.
Really? I would have said the opposite.
Let's hear.
I would have said if you're the Ramach, once you raise the flame, you're indicating that it's not a hecker. Meaning I could have, you know, maintained that the stam that it was a hecker until you violated, and then it's clearly not a hecker because it didn't stop you.
Maybe, although I would argue that the fact that this blech is still there is going to remind me on Shabbos not to raise the heat. It's still there. The fact that I raised it after I put the blech down before Shabbos just means I wanted to adjust the fire before Shabbos. But on Shabbos, I'm not so worried that I'm going to raise the heat. Okay. Just to give like 3 minutes of more practical halacha, Rabbi Willig discusses this at length in his book. Very complicated to understand. I think I made that point a few times. The better presentation of this, in my opinion, is in the Sefer Archos Shabbos. It's Perek Beis, Din Samach Tes. The question is, if I have a blech, a full blech, okay, and I only have one fire on the blech, okay, imagine that this is on top of the fire, right? So I only have one fire on. So obviously, a pot that's right on top of the fire, we consider a pot that's right on top of the fire. That's not such a question. Question is, this is going to sound a little bit like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I apologize, but let's get a good color. Right. Let's say I have area A. Area A is near the fire, but it's still Yad Soled Espo. I have area B, right? Area B is on the same piece of metal, but it's not Yad Soledes. Again, and I could say this in two ways. I could say that the area itself is not Yad Soledes, or I could say it's incapable of making food that's there, Yad Soledes, and perhaps we therefore could distinguish between B and C based on that. Am I allowed to move a pot from area A to area to that X? From area A, which is not on top of the fire, to that red X, which is mamish where the fire is. Can I just shove that pot over? Can I move a pot from area B to the top of the thing? Again, I'm talking about food that's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, obviously there's bishul. So the poskim have lengthy discussions about this. The Chazon Ish basically says that this is permitted. To move from A to that area, according to the Chazon Ish, is going to be permitted. Rav Shlomo Zalman is inclined that to move from A to X is going to be forbidden. To move from B to X, the pashtus is that it should be forbidden, although the Chazon Ish has a svara that's permitted. And let me explain. The Chazon Ish conceptualizes the blech like the Gemara that we spoke about beforehand as smicha. So this is algaba. That X is algaba. But A is smicha where it's Yad Soledes. B is smicha where it's not Yad Soledes. The Chazon Ish says, I'm allowed to move a pot from smicha to al gabo, right? Remember, smicha is that the pot is like this, right? This is my kira. Can I take the pot that's next to the oven and put it on top of the oven? Can I go from smicha to al gabo? So the Chazon Ish says we pass in smicha to al gabo is mutter, and therefore this is mutter. To move it from B to X is mutter, according to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is saying that our blech, the different areas in the blech, right, are, this is called algaba. This area A might also be algaba because it's Yad Soledes. This area B, right, the Chazon Ish is inclined, oh, that's called smicha, bad color. This area B is called smicha because it's not Yad Soledes. Al Gaba, says the Chazon Ish, is everything that is Yad Soledes. The stuff next to it is called smicha. And he says, therefore, I could push the pot over because I could go from smicha to Al Gaba. Okay, ladies, try to refute the Chazon Ish. Again, you can't refute a Chazon Ish, a man, but show from Tosfos why Tosfos does not agree to the Chazon Ish. Remember, the Chazon Ish says A is like al gaba. Okay, I can hear that. That's debatable. B is smicha. Okay, we're talking about smicha in G-Pats. And it's worth a smile. Come on. Anyone?
Yeah. Well, the Chazon Ish is saying that B is considered smicha as well, but perhaps that's not really smicha because it's one step removed from smicha.
Elaborate.
Like, if you think about X, X is the kira. So I feel like if anything, A should be smicha, but why are we extending saying that B
is so? Well, the Chazon Ish says A is also agaba because A is mamash yad soledes.
I have a duper high assumption.
Right, that's the assumption. Right? A is Yad Soledes, B is not Yad Soledes.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just getting confused. I thought in the Chazon Ish himself, the whole problem with our blech was that there was like no airspace.
Okay, so let's say, good point. Let's say it's a blechs on legs.
Oh, I mean more from the, I don't mean that. I'm not trying to be medayik in the blech you drew. I mean more from the perspective of al-gaba to smicha. That's what I meant.
Now, if I have a blech on legs and there's a fire only under one part of the blech, can I move the pot from the area which is Yad Soledes to the fire? Can I move from the area that's not Yad Soledes to the fire? Right, even if right, it's on legs, but some of the space is Yad Soledes, some isn't. So if you look at Tosfos, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibar Maschil Toshma, look at that Tosfos. What does the Tosfos say?
Well, Tosfos is saying that when it's actually on the fire, it's one thing versus when it has like a blech or like a wall separating it. Those are not going to be the same cases.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if you said in the case when you have the wall, you're more able to be make alone is actually on the ish, but this case here, it's not actually directly on the ish because there is a wall.
And let me say it a little more precisely. Tosfos says that this is called smicha because this is my oven and I have my pot next to the oven and there's a wall of that oven. In this case, where I have a blech, there's no wall between area, let's say, A and area B. Right? There's no wall over there. It's all on top of the range. So I'm just pushing the pot over. There's no wall. Tosfos says that's only called smicha when there's a wall, when there's a dofen mafsik. There's no dofen mafsik, according to Tosfos. That's not called smicha. So that is the next point I wanted to make. Ms. Stepanski.
Well, are we trying to say that a wall, are we saying a wall dafka isn't something to separate, or dafka that a wall is so thick that it absorbs some of the heat and cools it off by the time it gets to the next pot? Because
I'm not sure. I'm not sure why, but what all I know is that Tosfos uses the lashon of dofen mafsik.
But why can't the blech be a dofen mafsik?
It's not. It's not dofen mafsik in the sense of I don't have any separation. Right, here's my fire, right? I don't have any separation between this area and that area, as opposed to the standard case of Kira, right, of Smicha. So there's a separation between the Kira and the area outside. There's a Dolphin Mafsik. Over here, A and B and C, there's no Dolphin Mafsik. So one could argue on the Chaznish that Tosfos' scenario of smicha involves that there is a dofen mafsik, and therefore it's not analogous to the case of what's it called? It's not analogous to the Chaznish's case, etc. So that is what we wanted to say in Gemara today. Any questions, comments, observations? Okay, so maybe we'll pause for a minute and we'll do 3 minutes of Haftorah because you have to start teaching at 3:10, okay?